Indeed a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Indeed a joy to gather in. I do have an announcement here. 2020 graduation. Kayla Grace Self, Madison High School, is pleased to celebrate the commencement of the graduation class of 2020. I will pin this back there on the back of the church. And let's remember these children. Their graduation is definitely going to be remembered in ways that nobody else's has. I've thought about them much. Brother Jonathan's got a young man over there at his church. He's graduating this year alike. Other churches around, down at Alexander, they've got some that's graduating, and their graduation is going to be remembered like no other. But Lord, help us to pray for them and hold them up to God. I trust that even yet through all of this, God will get glory. I just know that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. I know that all things work together for the good who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's His word. It cannot change. And I'm grateful and thankful to know these things. Anybody, anything on your heart this morning before we go any further? If you have your Bibles and would read with us this morning, we'll be in the book of Matthew in the 14th chapter. Matthew 14. Thought we would preach from someplace else, but it seems that the Lord has led us here. Had this thought upon our heart earlier. I guess it was Friday. But we thought we'd be in another place this morning, but He's brought us back here. We'll just trust Him. Matthew 14, and we'll read the 30th verse if you wish to rest from your seats. Be a blessing if you can, I understand. Matthew 14 and verse 30. The Bible says, "But when He saw the wind boisterous, He was afraid, and beginning to sink, He cried, saying, Lord, save me." You may be seated. Tremendous account of a great event. Something that I believe God put in order, had seen it for years and years and eternity before, and sees this same event and in eternity after. But as we look at this morning, the thought that had come to us earlier in the week, and we had come up at Bible study, and it just seemed to resonate in our heart over and over, but it was Peter's prayer. Peter prayed right here. He cried to the Lord. And it wasn't a long, drawn-out prayer. It wasn't that it was in a place, if you will, for hundreds and 25 of the very best people you could imagine, or 25 of the very worst people you can imagine. It was just, if you will, of just Him and God. And it wasn't with great amount of words. It wasn't with words that would be tickling to the ear, but it was words that I believe that you could apply, that the as it's written in the book of James, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe that Peter's prayer right here was fervent and effectual. I believe that as Peter was crying to the Lord, as he cried out, he cried saying, "Lord, save me." I don't know how long you've spent in your mind, even as we read this entire event, but just for a moment, if you will, to pause here, and we're going to go back, if the Lord will let us, here in just a few minutes, and come back through this, and maybe we can come back to where we're about to try to explain. For just a moment in your mind, put yourself exactly where Peter was. I hope that there's an event in your life that you can reference back to where that Peter was. Peter was sinking. Peter was going out of sight. Peter was dropping into an environment in which he could not survive. And it was the wind and storm on every side of him. And he cried three words, "Lord, save me." I hope that in your heart, I pray that in your mind's memory, you can go back to a day, an hour, and a time when you cried, "Lord, save me." I know that when I was a lost man in this world, and I remember the conviction of God coming to my life, I remember the weight of sin, the revelation of my trespasses against God, the sentence that was to be carried out against my life, I remember all of it very well. But I also remember that when I went down to pray, I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say. But I do remember asking God to save me. Why? Because it was my only remedy. And this was Peter's only remedy. You can thank it to death all you want, but the only thing that was to be said was, "Lord, save me." And I tell you, God abundantly saved him. The Bible says immediately. Immediately. Let's look back at this. Now, the day before, he had fed thousands with very little. And it was going into the evening time, and Jesus put his disciples in this ship, and he asked them to go to the other side. Now, how did Peter get to where he got to where that he cried out, "Lord, save me"? Let's look at this. Now, he, my friend, was commissioned of God himself, Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate. He was commissioned of him to get into this ship and go to the other side. And so Peter did what Jesus said. And there's many times in our lives we believe, we are walking by faith, we are going where God sent us to go, how we are doing what God commands us to do. So here goes Peter to the other side with the disciple. He's doing what Jesus said to do. And many of us here today, we're doing exactly what Jesus said for us to do. We've come to worship God. We've come to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We are here to obey the Lord. Peter was obeying the Lord, and there he goes out across the sea. And my friend, and Jesus sent the multitude away. And then Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. And Jesus knew about the storm they were in. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. He knows about the storm that I'm in. He knows about the boisterous wind. He's aware that the wind and the seas may be contrary, but I believe he's aware that our efforts are still to do what Jesus said. I believe, my friend, there are some people in this world that are still earnestly contending for the faith. I can't help but believe that this morning, by the commission of my heart, Brother David, I believe we're doing what's right. If I didn't believe what I was doing was right, I would be on my knees trying to find out, "God, what do I need to do? I want to do what's right." These men were trying to do what were right. They were going where Jesus said to go. And many times, dear friend, I can promise you, as we start on our journey, it may get to where there's some boisterous winds. Boy, aren't they today? Aren't they a lot of wind today? My goodness, that is contrary to what God would have us to do. You go to testify to somebody, and the devil will throw every fiery dart in your mind that you can imagine why you should not say anything about the Lord to that person right now. There'll be a better time later. You talk about a boisterous wind that's blowing against the house of God today. I could go house by house, home by home, and I promise you, every last one of you have had the winds of the hounding hellhounds after your life this week. Today, right now, but still we're crying out,
my friends, we're trying to do what God would have. And lo and behold, in the fourth watch of the night. Now this tells me that the men were in a storm for a while. A lot of times we get a little bump in the road and we say, Lord, get rid of this. Fervent charity is where my heart's been a lot this morning. About how that we ought to have this as children of God. And how that we ought to be sure that this is alive and in us, this fervent charity. You cannot make yourself love like the way God can cause you to love. Can I say that again and will we hear it? You cannot make yourself love the way that God can cause us to love. It's an impossibility for mankind to have the love of God in his heart without the power of Christ living in him. And when this fervent charity is in you and abound, I'll tell you what, my friend, you've got a burning desire and zeal in your soul that somebody could know this same love. Somebody else could possess this same compassion. Somebody else might desire, a godly desire, that the power of God might be known and shed abroad fresh and anew in somebody's soul by the power of the living God of heaven. Lord, help us this morning. These men are doing what Jesus told them to do. They're in a storm. It's the fourth watch of the night. My friend, my goodness, it's about to be daylight. Children, I can't help but believe that we're probably in the fourth watch of the night. It's about to break day, but it's going to be the last day you and I will ever know. It's going to be one long eternal day, and people have heard it all their lives. Jesus is coming back. The end of time is near. It's nearer right now than any of us could ever imagine. The Lord is on his way. Some people today are still, honestly, from the heart, not for socialized rhetoric that people won't think bad of them, but they are earnestly seeking the face of God. They are earnestly going to the house of God out of the heart. And my friend, they're doing their best to be found pleasing unto God every day that they live. But yet the storm is here. The wind is howling. And my friend, and then Jesus comes walking by. The greatest debate in people's minds today when they're sitting on the pews of the church, I believe, is this. Well, is this the Lord or is it not? It's been a while since I've seen him. It was almost over 6 hours ago, nearly 8 hours ago, and it's dark, the winds are blowing. I don't know where Jesus is. Is this him that's in the midst of my troubles? I assure you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I promise you, I have found a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God's put ties in our hearts with men along the way. God has. I can look out at the men in this congregation this morning, and I don't know of a time in my life that I don't believe that you, if I called you, I believe you would drop what you were doing and come to help me. I believe that. And I hope you feel the same way about me. But the sad truth is this. There would be places where we might let each other down. They are. As much as I may love you and as much as you may love me, we would still fail one another. But I'm not talking about one that's going to fail us. I'm telling you, friend, one that will be with us in six troubles and in no wise will he forsake us in the seventh. He will be there. How do you know, preacher? Well, first of all, I know because he lives in my heart. And second of all, I can tell you, my friend, of the history and the factual and actual evidence that it's not just history of years gone by, but every word and every line is applicable to our lives today. This word, people might say, well, the King James Bible's over 2,000 years since Christ and since the 1611 King James Version and all, let me tell you something. Every word of that's brand new this morning. Every word of that's brand new today. The world might put an age limit on it. My God is ever new. And my friend, he never grows old. And that Jesus that came walking upon this stormy sea. My friend, if you will have it, if you hear this, if you receive it, Jesus is the one that put them in the storm. Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes. Why? Because he knew it caused them to cry to him. He knew it caused them to look for him. Who is that walking on the stormy sea of my life? Who is that in the sixth hour of the fourth watch? Who is that coming after me? They were afeared. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times a fear would overwhelm my mind. But thanks be unto God for the one who can walk out on the stormy sea of my life. Calls me to cry, Lord, save me. Can you put yourself there?
Yeah.
If you can't, oh, I feel so sorry for you. I wouldn't make light of you at all. But if you'll have this, he bought and paid for the ship. He bought and paid for the lives that was in it. He was the one that sent the storm. He was the one that sent them on their journey. And he was the one who immediately reached down and saved. I love that. That's my Savior. That's what he's done for my life. Why? Oh, at the wind that blows through my mind. Oh, you'd never know. I faced a situation this week, and it come to me after that phone call. Well, I'm going to go to this house, and then I'm going to go to this house, and then I'm going to go to this house. And if I need to be, I'll go to that house and that house. And if that's necessary, I'll get them everyone together, and I'm going to set them down, and I'm going to say, now this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and that happened. You know what God said to do? Leave it alone! The wind will blow you, my friend, from side to side. Just keep going where Jesus said to go. And when it gets so bad, when the waves get so high, when the fears get out there, and it doesn't seem like there's no way out, and if Jesus says come, you get out of that boat and you go. Why, preacher? Well, first of all, it's going to make manifest what's real and what's not real. Yeah. I've thought over this and thought over this. I don't think Jesus was struggling to stand. No. I don't. I think, my friend, that the waves were greater than they could imagine. These men were accustomed to storms. They were fishermen. They knew about storms, but they were afraid. And here comes Jesus. And I'm walking on the water. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Listen to me very closely. My friend, when Jesus bid you come, when the Lord of glory, when the one who owns the boat, put the souls in it and sent the storm, when he bid you come, just climb out and go. Why, preacher? I tell you what, my friend, you're going to know the presence of an eternal Savior. You're going to know a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It'll change your entire life. Oh, Peter walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. What a testimony. He walked on the water. I sat on the porch yesterday eating our dinner, and we was looking at that creek running down behind Lust Chapel. And I was just staring there at that water, and I thought, you know, that is an amazing substance. It'll kill me, but I cannot live without it. I seen it rushing over an old flint rock there off that back porch, and it started rounding the edges of that old flint rock. Without a doubt, I've never seen a fresh flint rock, and my friend, that didn't have some sharp, jagged edges. But my friend, that water's patient. It's enduring, and throughout the ages, it's rounded the edges of that old flint rock. I'm glad, friend, that God has got a water that can take in the heart. My friend, and it can shatter it. It can make it into something that God Almighty can get glory out of. If you will, and it's a good place to look at for a while, But you hit that flint rock just right and you're going to get a spark. You're going to get some fire out of it. But my friend, that water and its patience and its enduring is able to round them edges. Just continually going over it. Friend, let me tell you something. Peter stepped out on that substance that's softer than a feather. It can be harder than concrete. It's amazing, my friend, in a substance that he put his foot out on and he started walking. They are many, many times. I think in my heart that people believe they can walk on the water, but they can't make one step by faith. Now this man is in something that's supporting him in an unsupported, there's no footer underneath that boat. My friend, it's not dug into the earth. It's just floating out there on the water. And now Jesus is saying, "How come unto me?" I ask you, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Peter stepped out. And all of a sudden, my friend, as he's walking toward Jesus, he looks around at the wind. I can promise you this. I can testify this for my own self. Any time I've ever started toward the Lord, Jason, the devil's tried to hinder me. Every time. And what happens? He wants me to be swallowed up of my surroundings. He wants me to be engulfed of all my fears. He wants me, my friend, to sink into this world. But my friend, thanks be unto God that would give me enough mind, give me enough conscience for my soul to cry out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately, the hand of God. Now, I can't say, "Lord, save me," that it'll look good to everybody that's around me. I've got to cry to God to save me because of my condition. He wasn't thinking about them boys in that boat. He wasn't thinking even about where he was headed to. He was thinking about his immediate condition. And he was sinking. He was sinking into an environment that would consume him. I told a man yesterday, the great marvel, the great wonder, I believe the great miracle that God has given you and I in baptism. I can still see Thad Payne's face. When I laid that boy down in that water, it was springtime of the year. It had rained and there was water. I say springtime, it may have been summertime. The creek is up and it was muddy some. It had cleared up a little bit. We had dammed it up and we had us a place to baptize. We waited out there and I can remember it so vividly. I could see him when he walked up to me and I had him and he was just a little fella then. And I told him what was going to happen. I told him what we would do. But when I laid that little man down that water and I seen his face, it was like God got a hold of my heart and just wrung it out. There's a grave. He looked as dead could be. No facial expression. His eyes completely closed. He wasn't breathing. He wasn't listening. My friend, he looked just like he was dead. What a prime example God has given us. And then when I brought him up out of that water, and I seen that water part off that youngin's face, them eyes come open, them lungs went to feeling the evidence of life. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Sometimes our troubles can make us feel like we are dying. Mm-hmm. They can. But in my heart, I must confess, even since I've been saved, it seemed like I've cried, "Lord, save me. Yes. Save me from my fears. Save me from my troubles. God, I need your help." But that cry cannot come as a selfish, self-righteous cry. It's got to come out of the necessity of my soul. I believe Peter really wanted Jesus to deliver his life. He prayed three words and God answered. Let me tell you something, friend. If you rely on a form, if you rely on a fashion, if you're trusting in something that you might figure out, you will think yourself to death. It's madness. It doesn't add up. You cannot make it add up. Why? Because none of us deserve salvation. It's a miracle that God would save any of us. But my friend, when He created the conditions, when I was where I was supposed to be, I wrote it down in my Bible, a little note for me to remember. And this is what come to me. And as I was praying this morning here, and here I wrote down where He was. How did Peter get to where he was? How did you get to where you are right now? Well, preacher, I've done it to myself. Stop. We get it all to ourselves. Sin. We were conceived in it. We were shaping in it. There's no righteousness about us at all. But it's God's mercy that brought us to where we're at. To give us mind to understand and comprehend that I need Him so great and desperately bad that He'd even provide me, that it's Him that's near, that it's Him that can save me, that it's Him that will deliver me, that it's Him that I know to even cry to. This is Jesus. Lord, if that's You, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Straightway, Peter climbed down out of the ship and began to walk on the water to Jesus. It looked like an impossibility, but there he was. I can tell you this. If you took and you started adding up the circumstances in people's lives that are sitting here this morning, you would think it's an impossibility why they would even be at the house of God. But you're here. Welcome. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Your life may be in a storm, but I know who sent it. Yeah. I know who permitted it. I know who allowed it to be. And He did it for His glory.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's made us cry unto Him. Have you cried, Lord, save me? This may seem short and off the cuff. I don't know, but it's my heart. Let us rest from our seats. How is it with you?